Our next talk is entitled Pregnancy as a Teachable Moment, the Postpartum Weight Management Study, and our presenter will be Dr. Charmaine Smith-Wright. And she is formerly a Robert Wood Johnson Clinical Scholar, and she's trained in both internal medicine and pediatrics. And she currently implements behavioral randomized control trials, and her expertise is in both health disparity and health behaviors. What we're going to hear about is work in partnership, I believe, with the Maternity Care Coalition, yes? And over the past 5 years, implementing a community-based randomized control trial, testing an intervention to combat postpartum weight retention. So please, let's welcome Dr. Charmaine Smith-Wright.
And I just want to thank Margie Mogul, who's actually my partner in all of this work. It's actually been a six-year academic community marriage, I'll say, and my research assistant, who's in the trenches every day helping us get this work done, Glamaris Acevedo. So let's define this problem. So we've already heard a little bit about the metabolic change that occurs with pregnancy. So we have elevated estrogen levels, we've got increased turnover of fatty acids, we've got an insulin resistance that spares glucose because that's what the fetus needs. Sometimes it goes awry and that's what happens in gestational diabetes. And you've got all this metabolic change happening along with weight change. Lots of this weight change that happens during pregnancy is central. And there are anywhere between 14 to 50% of women who retain this largely central weight 1 year postpartum. And if you've retained greater than 10 pounds at 1 year postpartum, we define that as postpartum weight retention. So there are some known risk factors of weight retention. They include starting off your pregnancy already of an unhealthy weight, so a high pre-pregnancy body mass index. Also included are excessive gestational weight gain, quitting smoking at any time during pregnancy or after, maternal stress, and all the socioeconomic indicators that cause obesity in this population. It's not fully understood. There are really no established norms for how you should lose weight after pregnancy, and there is really only that one postpartum healthcare visit that is required to happen, especially for women that are covered in public insurance. So there's not a lot of healthcare for moms in the postpartum period. So what does postpartum weight retention actually mean? This is a study of 1,500 women who were followed 15 years out from pregnancy. So what you can see in that pre-pregnancy part of the graph are that most women start pregnancy around the same weight. But then you'll see that the triangle graph depicts those high weight retainers. So those women who 1 year out from pregnancy retained high weight were also of highest weight 15 years out. And actually that 1 year postpartum weight predicted the 15-year postpartum weight. So there are lots of work that's being done in this area, and together with a community partner, we turn to the literature. This is a meta-analysis written by Issa Davis, and she said that what we need to do is investigate the biological mechanisms and behavioral risk factors to determine the reasons for racial ethnic differences in these pregnancy weight outcomes that we are seeing. And she called on us to do a mixed methods approach to look at the greater social context. So this is what we did. We wanted to figure out what was going to work, so we turned first to Cochrane to see the studies that already existed to combat postpartum weight retention. So there were six studies that studied a total of 245 women, very heterogeneous methods from classes to mailings, different levels of interaction with women. And what they found were that diet combined with exercise or diet alone, compared to usual care, that definitely enhanced weight loss in the postpartum. But again, these were heterogeneous methods, and interestingly, these interventions didn't affect breastfeeding, which is a big, big point from both a provider and a mother perspective about why I should not exercise or diet, in quotes, during the postpartum period. So we made a few goals, our specific aims. We wanted to implement and evaluate a randomized control trial of a multi-site intervention designed to reduce postpartum weight retention. The hypothesis was that our intervention participants are going to do better, meaning lose more weight in the postpartum period, than our control participants who would receive minimally enhanced usual care. Next, we want to perform a cost-benefit assessment. And third, we want to disseminate what we know throughout Philadelphia neighborhoods. So we started first with observational work, and this was actually an APHA presentation a few years ago. We followed a sample of 101 women in the postpartum period and surveyed them at various times. We found that perinatal depression definitely had an effect, 1 pound more in terms of how much weight you gained during pregnancy, almost 3 pounds more in the weight that you kept on in the postpartum period. Interesting, nutrition knowledge actually didn't hold in terms of having an effect on those two outcomes. Self-efficacy, the belief that you can have a healthy behavior and perform it. Self-efficacy made a big difference. Those women who said they could do healthy behaviors actually did, gaining about 4 pounds less in the gestational period and then had 6 pounds less weight in the postpartum period. We did focus group work, both with the community health workers of the community-based agency and potential end users, women that we brought in who were clients of the community-based agency. We asked a couple of questions. We wanted to understand their barriers to exercise and healthy behaviors in the postpartum period. We wanted to know if they'd ever tried weight loss in the past. We had a couple of ideas about what we thought would work in terms of the intervention, but we wanted to ask them, what do you think would help? And what do you think specifically about health texting? Because we wanted to use that as a part of our intervention. We got so much rich narrative from this focus group work and actually used that narrative and what the women said themselves to write the text messages we now use in the intervention. Here is our conceptual model. So the goal is that we would deliver the intervention along with motivation because that boosts self-efficacy. We would deliver social support because we knew a lot about depression in this population. All that would lead to behavior change. And our big primary outcome you can see is postpartum weight retention. But we're looking at a couple of other outcomes as well. We want to improve breastfeeding time. We want to prevent hypertension, maintained infant growth, which is always a worry of moms if they're trying to do healthy things. What will that do to my baby at the same time? We want to improve their dietary composition and decrease depression risk. So lots of big goals. So here are the components that we ended up with after lots of work and discussion and study. We provide women with exercise aids to exercise at home in the house. They're busy was the number one reason for why women could not exercise. So Baby Bjorn donated our first 50 baby carriers. There's also the idea that wearing your baby might actually improve breastfeeding continuation. We know about skin to skin, that how that helps with breastfeeding initiation. We don't know a lot about breastfeeding continuation. So we're hoping that this actually helps moms have a hands-free and be more active, but also that it might affect breastfeeding. Women wear pedometers, which have been studied in this population and actually increase weight loss. We also have a weight loss program that women do at home to exercise with their babies, wearing their babies in the Bjorn. We provide motivational health texting. So a lot of that text that we got from focus groups, we feed back to women on a daily basis. It also provides a way for them to engage with the program. Every night they're asked to tell us how long they used the baby carrier and how many footsteps they took on what their pedometer reads. We provide two classes, so 10 and 12 were too many in previous studies, but we provide two classes. We focus both on moms feeding themselves in a healthy and budget-conscious way, but also how to feed their babies. So we do a lot about healthy bottling. There's a lactation consultant who is also available to help with those breastfeeding issues. Social support is huge. We know so much about depression in this population, so the women come together in this class. They're asked to bring a social support, so partners are absolutely involved. Children of big brothers and sisters are involved. Sisters have come along, mothers have come along, grandmothers have come along. And they remain connected with us for the full year of follow-up. So our study is a phase two efficacy trial, parallel group randomized control trial stratified by site. For those not familiar with Philadelphia, the blue is the Schuylkill River. So on the east side is Camden and on the west side is Philadelphia. The blue sites are actually all the neighborhood sites of Maternity Care Coalition from which we draw our women. And the red sites are those that where WIC is situated. So we hope very much to collaborate in the future. We draw our participants from a convenience sample. So Maternity Care Coalition has a database of all its pregnant clients. Our research assistant does a monthly screen of the third trimester clients to gauge their interest. And then they're called upon delivery to ensure that the exclusion criteria are met. And then they consent at that point to be randomized. There are incentives along the way, and retention is huge. That's something we focus on all the time. Participants do get a $20 gift card for each assessment, of which there are four. And they get cab rides to class. Many federal programs operate on that model, and so do we. They are provided with a free baby carrier and lactation support if needed. Here are the inclusion criteria: an English or Spanish speaking mother, the self-report of a pre-pregnancy BMI that is normal, greater than or equal to 18.5. They need to deliver a live term singleton, so no twin moms in our study right now. And they need to have a cell phone with text messaging capabilities. So in our observational work, this was 92% of the population. And we really don't exclude many women at all based on their cell phone. Here's what the intervention participants get. You must heal first from childbirth. So women come to the class 6 to 12 weeks postpartum, and they come to the two classes both at time zero and 6 weeks later. They get the receipt of all those home exercise aids that I told you about. They get the daily motivational texting throughout those intensive 6 weeks. And then they're provided with home visits at 6 and 12 months. And then the vitals and assessments are done at those four time periods. Here's what the control participants receive. Remember, this is a community-based study, so community health workers are very staunch advocates, wanted to be certain that these women who are in the control group were getting something, were a part of the program. So they also get these four home visits, at which time we do vitals and assessment. They get a baby carrier at a different time than do the intervention participants. They get the text messages in a written form, just a list of them. The only text they would get would to remind them about a home visit. Okay. We maintain treatment fidelity. The interventionist works off of a script. We maintain treatment purity by having the interventionist separate from the research assistant who does the control group home visits. Here's what's happened so far in terms of women entering the study. We've started out with 403. Because of this database, there's sometimes incorrect contact information. We now have a lot of strategies to call women back on the first day of the month instead of the last day of the month, for example, because cell phones are on a month-by-month pay-by-as-you-go basis. So lots of techniques we've learned along the way to get contact with women, but there is a lot of incorrect contact information. Many women didn't meet the inclusion criteria. We end up randomizing thus far 96, so we are 50% of the way through our RCT. 35 were allocated to the intervention, and 61 were allocated to the, 35 to control, 61 to intervention. What I just want to draw your attention to is at the very bottom of this flow diagram, where you can see how many women we follow through 12 months. Our attrition is 50% for that 1 year. This is something we are working really, really hard on. I can tell you that from the first three cohorts, that is where the majority of the women have sort of left the study. So we have actually revised our retention strategies throughout in terms of collecting many different forms of contact, for example, and doing a better job of engaging women up front. So we have improved, but we do recognize that that is the attrition that we have. Here's our baseline variables of those 96 women. So you can see that the randomization has gone just quite well. There are no differences in starting off BMI, waist circumference, depression, self-efficacy, difference in race, how long women end up breastfeeding, or the percent that are using hormonal control. So the control and intervention groups look quite similar. Just want to give you a quick taste. Again, we're only halfway through, but I just wanted to share that we are cautiously optimistic about where we are headed. So we have a postpartum weight change both at 6 weeks, 6 months, and 1 year. And you can see that at 6 months, those who are in the control group, the blue bars, have gained 6.4 pounds, whereas those in the intervention group have lost 3.3 pounds. And at 1 year, for those that we have followed, we have a gain of 8.4 in the control group and 2.4 pounds of loss in the intervention group. Similarly, with waist circumference, we see at the six-month period a gain in waist circumference in the control group and a loss in the intervention group. I've spoken with lots of OB friends about the one-year postpartum. You'll see that both groups are gaining, and there's certainly a readjustment of central body fat that we're now looking at of all women, actually, that occurs. So not only do we need to be very focused on weight loss, but we must also be focused on waist circumference. So moving forward, we must finish the trial first, absolutely. We're thinking of how we will do our linear modeling, continuing recruitment and enrollment, furthering our funding streams, and all the lessons that we've learned. So being in this kind of laboratory, so in a community-based setting, it can be messy sometimes, but it is a laboratory that we have to be if we want to understand health disparity. So it has been just a wonderful ride. So I want to thank everyone and our funders specifically.